It's RVO bitches.
Bonjour. What's poppin'? This is Glory.
And I'm Janae.
And this is the Rich Vibes
and Overdrive podcast. Okay.
Ooh, you're such a
Hey, Janae.
What's up?
You know, I have a question for you.
What?
You're going to be annoyed. Okay. Do you sleep with the door open or the door closed? Like when you go to sleep? It's important.
I sleep with the door open.
You know what? Me too for a long time. But then I started closing the door, like when the air conditioner. But I just wanted to know. It was a question.
What relevance does this have with anything?
Nothing.
I cannot even deal with you. You know, I don't, listen, Glory, I'm dealing with a lot right now.
I mean, tell the people, we had a poppin' ass Juneteenth barbecue. Pew, pew.
We did. It was OD lit. But right now, you know, I'm dealing with a broken heart. A broken foot.
Oh, you dealing with a broken heart, broken foot, and broken what else? Spirit?
I don't know.
Girl, can you tell the people, just let them know what occurred to lead to an almost 30-year-old woman breaking her leg?
First of all, I broke my foot, not my leg.
Oh, the foot, my bad.
Well, you see, what happened was the Juneteenth cookout was so lit.
That shit was lit.
Somebody broke out one of my favorite childhood pastimes, which is double dutch. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta jump this double dutch. But the setup was wrong. The turners wasn't right. I had on sandals. I had on a dress with a thigh-high split. And I still decided to jump this double dutch. And God decided to punish me.
Are you actually good at jumping double dutch? Because I feel like a pro would have been able to navigate all those things.
Well, I don't think I'm a pro, but I'm good at it.
Okay. What's the thing when you are... Because I remember when I was in middle school, right? I used to be one of the girls that turned for double dutch. I didn't know how to jump. But what's the thing when girls would be like, oh, we don't want you to turn because you, is it ambidextrous?
I don't think we had that type of vocabulary in elementary and middle school, but it was definitely, it's called being double-handed. And so I am very
double-handed. Yo, bitch, you used to call me double-handed all the time. I'm like, you know what? If you want somebody else to fucking turn this rope, then get somebody else. This is all I got.
It's okay. My hands are double-handed. I'm double-handed too. It's okay. It's all good. I'm sad that, you know, I broke my foot right before my birthday. So now a bitch has got to turn 30 with a broken foot. Like, you know, that's not the way. But it's still going to be lit. I'm going to make the best of it. My homegirl called me today and she was like, you know, Janae, this is not an accident. This is just some fucking dumbass Janae shit. Like, only...
Bro, that's fucked up. That's funny as fuck.
She was like, only you would be turning 30 and break your foot. Like, nobody else in the world would do something like this but you.
Like, I mean, I was there when everything happened. I was just like, oh, she's just being extra. And then you started crying. I was like, oh, this is real. This is a real broken foot.
But yeah, you did not hesitate to stop joking.
I know. I was just in the spirit. But then after a while, I was like, damn, this is real.
So ladies and gentlemen, Glory was cutting my ass as I was crying on my kitchen floor with my foot so swollen. And she just would not stop. Like, she ran the light, ladies and gentlemen. The light was the tears.
Pew, pew, the legend be back.
The light was the tears. And she just kept joking past the light. Nobody loves me.
That shit was funny. I honestly had a great time besides you breaking your foot. That almost put a damper on the day, but you got back the fuck up and you was ready to end the night. And then we ended the night with some fireworks, which were cute. But now, like, I'm hearing these fireworks aren't stopping anywhere.
Yeah, so maybe some people might call it a conspiracy theory, but, and I don't even know if you can really call it that at this point, but this other guy I work with, he was basically saying, like, people are putting the fireworks in our neighborhoods and selling them to our kids and the people in our neighborhoods intentionally to cause this disruption, just to have something to complain about. And honestly, at this point, I believe it.
This is what I heard. I heard the CIA was doing psychological warfare on us so that we could get accustomed to the sounds of the fireworks so that when they really do come invade, we would think it's the fireworks, but it was them invading.
whether it's the CIA, the FBI, it doesn't matter. I feel like the government is behind this and they're intentionally doing some shit to fuck with us. And until we know what their ulterior motive is, we just need to really keep our eyes open and be careful.
And not sleep at night.
I don't know about that part, but sure.
Nah, I've been sleeping. Like, I don't really hear them around here. Like, once in a while I hear them, but I sleep through whatever, so I don't care. So, people, speaking of sleep, I figure this is a good transition. You could thank me later. Now these companies keep trying to be woke. You see what I did there?
Laura, you just bombed on our podcast.
Shut the fuck up. So, trying to be even more woke, which I, you know, appreciative to an extent, because I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know, what is the loop? I just always feel like there's a loophole, but Netflix just donated $120 million to Spelman Morehouse and the United Negro Fund. So, they're going to split that up $40 million, three ways, $40 million each. What do you think about that?
It would have been more appreciative if they would have spread the wealth amongst all the HBCUs. Even if they would have gave every HBCU $1 million and then gave the rest to the United Negro Fund, they could have did it that way as well. So that way,
but can you have the same impact if you're just doing $1 million each versus like a consolidated?
Yes, you'll have a greater impact.
Can you explain that? Can you explain that to me?
Institutions like Spelman and Morehouse, although they are privately funded, they have a great alumni base, you know? And so they have a lot of private funders. Not to say that they don't need money as well. Like, the HBCUs in general need money. Don't get me wrong. But some need money more than others. Mm-hmm. So I think if they wanted to be smart about it, they should have more appropriately distributed the wealth so that as a community, as a whole, we could have benefited. Because I think the goal is to benefit Black students as a whole. You know what I'm saying? Not just this particular subset of Black students.
It would have made more sense because I'm trying to find a way to, like, I when I first saw the news, I'm like, wow, this is great. But I also don't know the history of, like, the fact that Spelman and Morehouse are, and Howard usually get the most, you know, like when they get gifts like that, they usually are the one. I didn't think about that because, you know, I didn't go to HBCU. I'm like, oh, this is great. HBCUs are getting acknowledged. But then I started looking at, you know, the fact that not all of them are getting this kind of acknowledgement. So would it have made more sense if maybe they would have set up a scholarship fund for people going to HBCU so you can support the students wherever they choose to go?
I mean, that's fine. I think it's like I said, it's even simpler than that. All they had to do was appropriately distribute the money. That's it. It doesn't necessarily need to be a scholarship. If they want it to be a scholarship, cool, but it doesn't need to be a scholarship. They should have just appropriately.
I just think $1 million is not a lot. Like, if you want to make impact.
And maybe it's not $1 million. That was just a general number that I threw out. But if they actually took a look, if they wanted to have a meaningful impact, and I know they have the resources to do this, they could have took a look at the fundings for each of the HBCUs. And then they could have determined that way. And so maybe it's not evenly distributed, it's appropriately distributed. You know, and that's why I'm specifically using the word appropriate. So maybe every school doesn't need the same amount of money. Maybe Hampton needs $3 million and the school in North Carolina needs $5 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what the numbers are because I haven't done the research, but I think they should have done the research to figure out what each school needs. Like, they could have had their budget and then appropriately distributed to each school based on what their need is. And I think that would have had a greater impact.
Well, I don't want to take away from Spelman. I was happy for them. So
it's not taken away from them. It's understanding that that's not enough.
No, absolutely not.
Speaking of fraudulent companies, Hennessy, another one. You know what? I'm not even really going to call them fraudulent because they donated, they started this initiative called Unfinished Business, mm-hmm. where because of COVID-19, they wanted to donate to minority business owners. So they donated $3 million to Black, Latino, and Asian businesses. And I don't know. I feel like I never saw Asian people drinking Henny like that.
Oh, that bitch, you trying to get canceled before you pop off. That's what you're trying to do. I didn't even think about that. I feel like they wanted to acknowledge, it sounds like they wanted to acknowledge all of the POC community, which again, you know, the POC argument is a different argument in itself. Like, POC and Black are not synonymous. And I think we've talked about that on the podcast before. And now it's like, oh, like now you want to benefit off of the burdens that we have, but you don't consider yourself Black. So I think this is more like a Black issue, but maybe I could be wrong with that. Because the thing is that they weren't going to take action until this happened. So for me, it's like, yeah, make sure that you try to balance the scales, but also don't think that this little donation is the balance of the scales. Like, there's still work that needs to be done, psychological, financially. And this is not by any, this is just a piece of the cake. So yeah, you should actually keep these donations, and we should need to, you know, try to, you know, empower Black communities, and I guess POC as well, but don't think that this is the end of it. So I'm like, I don't want to be dismissive of the efforts, because these are some, I feel like they sound like some good programs that can kind of put us in the right direction without us being blindsided. Like, oh, let us understand that this is not the end of the battle. This is just the beginning. Not even the beginning, we were at the middle of it, because we had a beginning, but it still never got resolved.
And I think that it is a good initiative. I'm just like extra wary about everybody right now. It's like, yeah, what's really your objective, you know?
Another thing that, another, you know, I guess in the list is a bunch of businesses coming out, and Facebook is also one of those on the list. They're a very problematic company, but they are starting a grant program to, you know, help Black businesses as well. So, I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see if these financial contributions actually make a difference in the long run, right? Because I'm hearing multiple arguments, right? I'm hearing the argument of like, capitalism is not the solution. We need to get rid of the whole thing. And, you know, I'm just hearing multiple arguments. So I'm interested to see what these financial contributions do for the long run.
But Facebook is the snake in the grass. I do not think that Facebook for a second gives a fuck about Black people. Because every time there's an issue in the world, you never see no cover photo, no overlay from Facebook to support or promote this issue in regards to Black people, whether it's Black people in America or Black people in another country. Yeah, and it's I don't know, it bothers me that every time something's going on in the Black community that I never see anything from Facebook. And then it's like, when you do see something from Facebook, it's always mad late. Like, Twitter immediately changed their bird to a Black bird. Every company was coming out, oh, I support the Black community. And Facebook, I just feel like they never do anything. But if it's gay pride, they do something. If it's another issue, they do something. Donate to this, donate to that. They're so quick and they're so on their toes. But when it's a Black issue, it's like, it's silence. And that really bothers me, because Facebook is like one of the largest social media platforms in the world. And it's like, why are you not stepping up?
What I was saying, Janae, was that Facebook does own Instagram, and Instagram is always, first of all, that I think it's contradictory to expect anything of them, because we know it's just fluff, right? Like, changing your profile photo really doesn't do much. But, you know, and I'm not taking sides here, but they own Instagram, they do have these little stickers and stuff, which again, it doesn't do anything. So I'm like,
but it doesn't matter. It's the fact that they do it for every other issue that arises in the world. If God forbid, if a building was to get blown up right now, they would have a fucking cover photo for you to change your profile photo to. If a gay person was a hate crime happening right now, they would throw up a pride cover photo about what the issue to put your thing to. So whether it's fluff or not, it's fucked up that they keep doing it for every other issue except for Black issues. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, you cannot be on the podium when something else happens, but then when something happens that affect Black lives, we can't find y'all. We got that. I'm just saying, particularly, I feel like Facebook is blatantly fake.
So there's a spectrum of fakeness.
Of course.
I think that you know, I respect your argument. I think that for me, first of all, I don't even try to fuck with Facebook like that anyways. But I think that the reason why these companies are trying to save grace is because they realize the power of the Black dollar, And that's the only reason why they're trying to create these programs to kind of, you know, bridge some kind of gap that's there. But
I mean, we already know that.
My thing is, like, I want to see, like, this is not a one shot situation, one and done. It's like, it requires infrastructure to be set up and actual, like, programs that go over maybe the next decade, the next two decades, so that there's actual change.
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't even want to focus on these companies at all. I feel like we should be focusing on ourselves, and we should be focusing on our own Black businesses and generating wealth within our businesses with every aspect of life there is, from sports to music to arts, cultures, whatever piece of business there is. We need to create our own, keep our own, and circulate that wealth within our neighborhood. Like, I know it's been a lot of talk, and we talked about it in previous episodes as well, about recreating Tulsa and Black Wall Street. And I think it needs to be created across the nation. It can't just be in one place. Like, we just have to be stronger than ever.
I think it's going to take patience and some time to actually establish these places, but these things for us. But I think they can be done. And I think that we have been seeing kind of this movement of, like, Buy Black moving forward. And I think that if we actually...
It's not even Buy Black moving forward. We need to Buy Black right now. And we need to empower ourselves and our peers to do the same thing.
So I think that we haven't seen these movements put in place. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the solution? Like, do we need more entrepreneurs? Do we need more, maybe, people, Black capitalists? I don't want to look up to them to help for anything, but it's like, do we need them to create pipelines for us to learn how to create media companies and stuff like that? So I don't really know.
I think it's everybody can do it within their own sector. So if you are, like, for instance, we need to stop sending our kids to these predominantly white schools. If we took all of our, we dominate sports, especially basketball and football. If we took our basketball players and our high school football players and we put them all at HBCUs, then guess what? The HBCUs would be D1 schools. Mm-hmm. They would have no choice but to report on us, to follow us, to keep us. But that's a mentality that needs to change within our community. We have to be willing to take that risk. I think Black people are afraid to take the risk because they want the instant gratification and they're not looking at the bigger picture. So if I had a Black son that was, like, top of the nation basketball player, I would go ahead and send them to that Black school. So it's like, we need to start doing more of that. And even, like, when Kyrie Irving was saying, like, yo, we can create our own league, bro. Black people run NFL and NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to recognize that we have the power to do shit on our own.
You know, we've been taught to kind of have this, like, white validation, aka, like, where people go to PWIs and they go work for these companies and all this stuff. But it's like, it needs to really be, like, all of us need to say, this is the norm. This is what we're doing. And I feel like it's easier. I think it's easy to say this in social media, but we need to actually put our dollars where it counts. So, like, I feel like I make a conscious effort of setting money aside to support Black businesses every month. And it's like, we need to collectively all do this. So it's like, I want to see it happen. And again, it's like the instant gratification thing, but, like, I want to actually see us do this.
And like you said, we need to keep having these conversations as a whole about it. And that's where education is key, and teaching people, like, yo, you may think that you're losing out by not going to this predominantly white D1 school, but in the end, you are contributing to something much larger and bigger than yourself. And I think that that's what we have to teach our kids as we raise these young athletes that are out here, you know, pursuing their dreams, because the white people don't care about us. Look what they told LeBron, shut up and dribble.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They don't actually care about us. We're disposable to them. They just care about us making the money. So we just need to make ourselves money.
Right.
And like I said, it could happen in every sector. Like, I read this article that T.I. was supposed to teach a class of trap music at Clark Atlanta this upcoming fall. That's dope. You know what I'm saying? Now kids going to learn something that they haven't learned. And maybe they can build their own music companies, recording companies, and follow their dreams.
Even within our own families, like, really distributing the knowledge of financial literacy. And I guess I'm pushing that narrative forward because what I know, right? I'm like, okay, well, if my finances are in order, then I can become a homeowner, all that stuff. But I'm sure there's other things that we can learn But I think like not hoarding information and passing them that legacy of like, how did you do this? I think sometimes, you know, because maybe there's only one Black person in the room, they want to be like the only one in the room. And it's like, you cannot operate that way. You need to open the doors. Just like somebody opened the doors for you, you got to continue to pull back and reach somebody, you know, from that's on the come up. So it's like, I don't know. I think there needs to be more education about, you know, how to operate a business, how to have your personal finances in order. And I think that there can actually be change if we keep this momentum going.
Yeah, I agree. If you have the knowledge, if you have the power, share it. That's it.
Yeah.
Share it. Set it up in whatever way you can set it up. And let's educate people and let's make our own communities that are thriving. And I think that it starts, like me personally, I'm trying to find me a sexy ass Black man.
Girl.
So that we could be a power couple and that we can give back to our community.
No, same. Absolutely. I think it's important to, I think that's contributes to the wealth within our community. It's like keeping these Black families together, protecting our Black men, like you said in the last episode, empowering our Black women and protecting them as well. So I think that that is also very important. And it's also in the way that I date, that is very important to my dating life. It's like, I don't want to have to date someone where I have to explain these nuances that happen to me day to day. Again, love is love. If you have the spirit of Tamara and you were able to thrive in that environment, good for you. But I think it's important for us to, I think it's important for us to really build community, have strong families, just create this legacy because we are so popping. And I just think that we could bloom into something. We can really, at the end of this decade and beyond, like we could really be living the life that we need to live, even though systemic oppression will be in the back burner and we still need to get our reparations. But I really think that we can move in that direction. And we've been seeing some good examples of that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I had seen somebody post on social media, I forgot who, but it was like, yo, there was like a meme floating around like, look how amazing Black people are in oppression. Look how creative we are. Look how beautiful we are. Look how intelligent we are. Imagine what we would be if we were not oppressed. Because if we were able to cultivate all of this shit and with racism and oppression, imagine how much we will fucking flourish if we were actually had the equal opportunities to succeed as our white counterparts.
Right. And I think about the fact that Brown versus Board was only less than 60 years ago. And people, we have come so far in the head start that these white people have had. So it's like, imagine if we didn't have that barrier. Like, it would be over. It'd be quiet. Okay, so what Black power couples do you look up to?
None.
Wow.
To be honest.
That's kind of crazy.
There aren't really any Black power couples that I look up to, per se. I've never been, and it's not to say that I don't think there's great Black power couples out there, but the word look up to is, it's never settled well with me. Like, even when I was young and people asked me, like, who do I look up to? Who do I want to be like? And I was just like, yo, in my head, I was always like, I just want to be a better version of myself. You know, I don't think there's never been someone out there that I'm like, oh, I want to be exactly like this person. It's like, nah, this is who I think I should be. And I want to achieve that ultimate goal. And so for me, like, I just have my own vision of what a Black power couple is. And that's what I want, hopefully, in the man that I find to be my husband.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard. I don't want to put, especially with relationships, because, you know, like, we break up and make up all the time. You know, I think something that we're realizing in our, you know, awakening that is very important is the importance of the Black family. And I really do hope that I marry somebody from the diaspora, because I really, like, I would hate my life to be sauceless. You know what I'm saying? Where you can't feed
bruh.
What?
I cannot not marry a Black man. Like, I've dated probably like 2 white men in my life. And
no, you dated a few Dominicans.
Stop. I dated 2 white men in my life.
You know what?
Life.
I don't put that business out there.
I dated 2 white men in my life. And yes, I dated.
Wait, go back. You dated 2 white guys today?
Yes, Glory. Very briefly. Very extremely briefly. And so I dated 2 white guys and I also dated 2 Latino guys. And dating both of these people, even the Latino ones, it's like, I can't do this.
I've had sex with 2 whites. I feel like, because it feels very like, like the guy that the one guy I had sex with was in high school. So it was very like, this is high school. Like nobody really has these social constructions in their mind. Like, I don't know if it's going to work outside of high school. But the one guy that I did have sex with in Brussels, he got really upset because white men, they fall in love very fast. And it was like, this was just birthday sex. Like, I wasn't trying to make this a thing. And when we got to London, he was like, are you going to miss me? I was like, I don't know if I'm going to miss you. Who knows? And he just started calling me a bitch. He wouldn't leave in front of my hotel room. I did not like that energy. It was very Caucasian.
Yo, I'm crying.
It was very Caucasian. I did not like, no, Yelp service 1 star.
Wow.
But you know what? Before the civil rights movement, I was like, I was open to the idea of like dating outside of my race. I was like, you know what? Like, I was open to it.
I was open to it for a small amount of time, for like just for fun, just to like literally go out on a date, like nothing more than that. But like a real relationship, nah, I'm good.
I was open to it because I've been watching The Real, and Tamara be selling her relationship like no other. I'm like, damn girl, like, do you really feel liberated in this relationship? Because you talk about him like all the time. So I was really starting to be open to it, but I need someone that understands me. But for me particularly, Janae, like, I like me a Caribbean man. Like, I know, it's something in the blood that makes me hot. Like, I need him to be Caribbean. Jamaican, Trini, Guyanese. That's what I like.
It's probably because you're Dominican.
I think that's what it is. Like, the blood, like, it's something, like, it's just, like, I like, you know, I love soca. I need someone that's open to going to, like, the feds.
I love soca.
Okay, bitch. Okay.
Sorry, it felt appropriate.
No, it's fine. But that's what I like. And it's, like, and to be honest, most of the men that I've dated have been either, like, Nigerian or Jamaican.
I'm just upset that, you know, I feel like, it doesn't matter because I'm single anyways, but in the event that I want to be a dumb hoe again and sleep with my ex, I mean, I can't even get it popping.
We know you're going to be a dumb hoe and sleep with your ex again.
Like I said, in the event that I want to be a dumb hoe and sleep with my ex, I'm just upset that I can't even get it popping like how I want to get it popping. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, nobody told you to go get injured.
I know. And then I'm over here trying to give them this, you better not fuck with another bitch sex. But all I can give him is broken foot sex.
That's so fucking funny.
So yeah, I mean, do you listen to music when you're having sex, or do you just like having sex in silence?
I think I have to really like you to want to hear your breath. Because first of all, mind you, I haven't had sex in a long time, and I don't foresee me having sex in a long time. I don't really see it happening for me, Janae. But back in the day when I used to get it popping, I love music. I love listening. It depends like what kind of relationship we have. Like if we're in like a situationship, I love listening to like hardcore hip hop. That doesn't mean anything for us. But if we are together, if we had to like put the Meek Mill's Dreams a Nightmare, we fucking to that, okay?
I think for me, first of all, I don't have sex with people I don't really like anyways, because I feel like I mentioned in a
Janae, shut the fuck up. You never been in like a situationship? Like all of a sudden you like everybody you have sex with?
Nah, because I try to protect my peace. And I know that I'm not good at casual sex. I feel like I've mentioned this in the past.
But when you were younger, so, you didn't have like sex and you kind of like, it's like, okay, like I kind of did this and I'm not saying I regretted it, but it's like, I could have just done without that dick. You never had sex like
sure,
that?
Sure. But it's always been somebody I
like, obviously we like them, but I'm talking about like and love. Like when I am in love with somebody and I want to feel your body inside of me, we doing different things versus like, oh, this, you know, I like you. Cool.
And so for me, like, I don't mind it being silent. Like,
is it breathing in your ear?
Well, he was on top of me, so yes, glory. And I, like, it just felt like, I just love having that connection of, like, me staring into your eyes and you on top of me. Like, it's beautiful. Like, sometimes silence is beautiful.
I need a little bit of white noise in the background. I need, like, an air conditioner. I need some low music. I need some white noise in the back. I don't like hearing people breathe in my ear.
But will we be trying to be, it depends, and I think it depends on the mood, because, you know, we both got kids. And so when the kids are there, it got to be like, boom, 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 get it popping, you know? I'm trying to make you come, that's it.
Okay.
But when, but when the kids are asleep or absent, son, that's when I want to put the music on.
But let me tell you something. I have a specific playlist that I only reserve for my soulmate. I had, like, maybe one soulmate before, maybe two. But, like, the 90s, like, the Power After Hour playlist. You know what I'm talking about, bitch? For, like,
yes.
You gotta be my pretty, like, you gotta be my husband for that playlist. But then everything else, I just put, like, whatever's trending, like, Daniel Caesar, whatever the fuck people listen to. Teyana Taylor. Music is very important to, like, my psychology. So, like, I compartmentalize with music. So it's, like, if I really am feeling you, like, you got a very special playlist, because then I think about, and then I listen to those songs when I'm not with you and I think about you. But if you just, like, one of my hoes, I'm going to put the top 40 records and we're going to do what we're going to do.
I think the question for next week should be, what are your music preferences when you're having sex? Catch us next episode, next season two, rebranded. Shit gonna be lit.
Hello.
All right, y'all, that's our episode for today. We'll be back next week, Friday. Make sure y'all tune in.
And make sure you also follow us on Instagram, Bitch Vibes and Overdrives. I know my English is bad, but I know how to spell that.
Yes, get all them updates, everything that's dropping. Let's continue to go through it and glow up together.
Okay.
It's RVO, bitches.